Hi, this is Gulpanag, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
Hello, and welcome to the 96th milestone of the Biker Radio Broadcast, a podcast on motorcycling from India, celebrating our heroic riders, legendary mechanics, and iconic builders through stories told by members of the community, one legend at a time. Well, motorcycling has always attracted the contrarian like a moth to a flame. Independent and sometimes revolutionary ideologues like Che Guevara have used it as a vehicle to test their ideas on wheels. It would be blind to ignore that we too now live in challenge times, where around the world, democracy seems to be squeezed in an ever-narrowing bandwidth, where citizens are increasingly getting seduced with a self-righteous, deep-rooted sense of inherited injustices, with forceful narratives rendering even the media benign. In 2011, Delhi witnessed Anna's Jan Andolan, and our guest today was one of many who stood up in solidarity with the multitudes eager to get the bugbear of corruption off the nation's back. Gulpanag joined the novel Aam Aadmi Party in a race for the Lok Sabha seat from Chandigarh against another Bollywood colleague, Kiran Kher. In retrospect, it was a battle of silver screen personalities. Should we too narrow our point of view, who were pitted against each other for a spectacle? But both candidates, being far more cerebral and emancipated, would ignore the battle against each other and rather position it as the battle for progress and social justice. From where we are as a people, was it the sense of apathy with the polity, or was it youthful adrenaline that ever so mainlines our emotions growing up that made Gul throw her hat into the political ring? Welcome to another rare episode of the Biker Radio Broadcast, where we have the privilege of getting to know the mind of an educated, youthful, self-righteous, progressive Indian woman who is not unpleasant to the eye either. Talk of motorcycling, motherhood, and much more. On the long way home with Gulpanag, I'm Shandy, you're on the Biker Radio Broadcast. And in this episode, we take Gul by the horns. Gulpanag, welcome to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Welcome to the long way home.
Thank you.
Somewhere I figured out that, you know, we get the government we deserve. And if you're not going to be a stakeholder in governance, then you'll get what you deserve.
Sure.
At that time when this Anna Andolan happened, I think share that frustration of what we wanted versus what was.
Sure.
And there was nothing else out there, and something just popped up, and it was like a breath of fresh air.
That picture of me camping on a bike put me in The Economist, just for context.
Yeah.
So, and The Washington Post.
Yes, I know. But you were somebody with a public image already, right? But to take on public office is a huge responsibility.
Well, I didn't take it on, right? I lost the election.
That's all right. But the will to take it on is what matters. An election lost is an election won.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of
80,000 votes or something?
No,
like
I think
that?
A lot more than that. 1/4 of all votes polled in Chandigarh. But
okay. I'm not a journalist. No, I got no idea about this.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I want to bring it back to biking, you know.
Yeah.
When the campaign team would say, okay, we want to do a bike rally, I would have a problem with that. I would say, look, I'm a fairly competent person. I'm eloquent. I can speak.
Yeah.
There's so much more to me that I can do that, you know, than just riding a bike.
That's why this is an audio.
And then I think someone said to me that, look, the symbol of you on a bike to a girl who can't choose her next moment is so powerful.
It truly is.
And that you know, what you can communicate by simply riding a bike to thousands of female voters.
Right.
Is probably more powerful than any conversation you can have with them.
True.
And the symbolism of that is something that I only realized the significance of many years later. Because when you're in that moment, you feel like you can do much more. You feel like you're being shortchanged by just putting on the bike.
Hmm.
But to girls who don't even know what is possible.
Hmm.
I mean, they don't know that it's possible to choose. I mean, they can't even choose what to study,
right.
Whether to study, who to marry, what to wear.
So that one act becomes ignition
and
for
then,
them.
Then they, and when they see a woman riding a bike, it becomes that ignition. It becomes that catalyst for them to start thinking differently.
Right.
And I think what it did 10 years ago, is certainly not what it'll do today, because today it's not outside the realm of possibility. It exists. It's been done. But at the time, India had not seen a woman riding a bike and campaigning.
Yeah.
And that's what caught the fascination of all these, you know, foreign journalists who were coming.
Yeah.
For whatever it was worth, the Chandigarh campaign 10 years ago, almost, you know, it'll be in a few months, had as much attention as the Varanasi campaign and the Amritsar campaign, where Mr. Jaitley was fighting Captain Amrinder. Varanasi, of course, the Prime Minister was, you know, the Prime Minister to be was fighting.
Right.
Chandigarh shouldn't have mattered.
Right.
But Chandigarh, just the three most talked about campaigns every day was like, what is happening in Chandigarh? What is Gul doing?
Okay.
And as a result of that, our campaign, you know, where Ms. Kher eventually won the seat and continues to hold the seat today, became the three most talked about constituencies in the run-up to the Lok Sabha elections.
True. But the will to take on that responsibility.
I mean, you're talking about a different perspective. I mean, I was just bringing the biking conversation into
fantastic.
It.
That's fantastic. That's a great
the
one.
The symbolism of it and the fact that, you know, and here's the interesting thing. I was on my way to Banaras and I stopped, I flew into, Banaras didn't have a real airport at the time.
Okay.
Flew into Lucknow, was driving to Banaras or Allahabad or something. And I stopped at a dhaba to have some lunch, and this guy says, "Aap wo bullet wali hai."
Okay.
I mean, the point is, it did a lot for me.
Yes.
Apart from putting me on the pages of, say, The Economist and The Washington Post.
Yeah.
A guy like this wouldn't probably see the kind of films I was doing, or would not know of the fact that I was perhaps a Miss India. But he saw me because of the kind of coverage my campaign got.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, aap to wo bullet wali hai."
Yeah.
I mean, subsequently there have been so many women riding bikes, and that, you know, it's like, okay, but to have the will to do that, I think there appeared to be, India was looking for change.
Yes.
Desperately.
Yes.
And it appeared that the opportunity to try and do something rather than crib about it. Hi, this is Gulpanag. And you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
The Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen. Connect. Ride on.
Pukhiya pukhna utari
Sasriyakal ji, main Lali Singh, and you're listening to Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
We all land up just cribbing, you know, and conversations after conversations after conversation going nowhere. You are somebody who's made that decision to be the change, literally.
I think I was foolhardy, perhaps, in hindsight.
Fair enough.
But I also had nothing to lose. You see,
okay.
I mean, I don't belong to a political party today.
Right.
I did not contest the previous Lok Sabha polls.
Okay.
Because my son was a year old. And I think over time, your priorities change.
Yeah, but at that time, just to make that decision is.
I think it was. I saw it as an opportunity to do something where I could stop being an armchair activist and actually do something about.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
And perhaps today, I mean, if you were to ask me, would I do the same thing right now? I probably wouldn't for two reasons. One, because I have my hands full at this stage.
Yes.
Right. Maybe 5 years hence, if you were to have the same conversation, maybe if you make.
How old is Nihal now?
Nihal is 5 and a half. He'll turn 6.
Wow.
5 years hence, maybe my response will be different. It probably will be different. But what I'm simply trying to say is that sometimes when you get an opportunity to do something,
yeah.
everything falls into place to make you seize that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, when I, in fact, the opportunity came my way because the Chandigarh candidate of the Aam Aadmi Party, Ms. Bhatti, she was Jaspal Bhatti's wife. She
really?
Had withdrawn her candidature.
Okay.
And there was this whole question mark as to who would be the Aam Aadmi Party candidate from Chandigarh. And I knew Arvind from the Andolan.
Okay.
From 2011.
Oh, you participated in it.
Yes. I was at Jantar Mantar, but I wasn't there for the media attention. So I messaged Arvind, I'm here. He said, come on stage. I said, no, I mean, I don't need to.
I hear you.
I mean, there was Arvind on stage, me in the crowd at Jantar Mantar for India Against Corruption. And he said, come and sit on the stage, because for a public person to turn up somewhere and register their presence by being on stage is what closes the loop. And I didn't feel strongly enough to do that.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be part of a movement without actually having to capitalize on it for personal gain.
Yeah.
So I've known Arvind from before that time as well. I think we met at around 2009 or 10 during an event, and we exchanged numbers. He was running Andolan then. Andolan? Parivartan. Parivartan was his NGO that he was running. So we had each other's numbers, and you know, we would be in touch. And so when this Chandigarh candidature question mark happened, I sent him a message. I said, so how about I stand from Chandigarh?
Really?
He said, come.
Wow.
So I met him and he said, are you sure you're up to it? Because it will involve a lot
Hats
of...
Hats off to you, man, to make...
So it was really...
It's a choice you made, right?
Yeah, in the moment of Ms. Bhatti withdrawing her candidature and me having Arvind's number at the time and me having known Arvind. So I just sent him a message and I said, you know, if you're looking for a candidate, I'm from Chandigarh, I'd be happy to throw my hat in the ring. And I think for them also, it was an opportunity to get somebody of a certain background, somebody who was from Chandigarh.
Absolutely, it mattered.
And they seized that opportunity as well.
Yeah.
So it was. I think that opportunity that presented itself that I, at that moment, felt I should take up.
Okay.
But today, I mean, subsequently, I was offered multiple seats from multiple parties for 2019, but I was not up to it.
Right.
My son was a year old.
Right.
And I think it's really important to shape the person that he becomes. And this is now the time for me to shape it.
Right.
And I'm lucky that I'm in a profession as an entrepreneur, be as somebody who is an actor of a space where I, you know, can sort of choose the kind of work I want to do. I don't need to work out of compulsion because of, you know, wanting to have to work. I feel I have the opportunity to prioritize my son right now. Where other people don't. I mean, I have career.
You're a mother.
Career friends who are, you know, CEOs of companies, and they're doing their 16, 18 hours a day, and it's tough. And I'm lucky enough to have a career, and also within that career, prioritize my child while continuing my career, which is a very, very privileged position to be in.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I'm around when he's home, even though. I mean, I have an office upstairs that I work out of.
Okay.
So I remain. I'm a structured person, so that there is a structure to the day. Otherwise, you know, it goes here and there. So that's what I was coming at. So if the opportunity were to present itself today, and it does. I mean, the opportunities like these keep coming, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know if today I would take it up, because I think my priority remains making sure that my son gets the right set of ingredients. The time was right and I had nothing to lose. If I had a five-year-old son then, I probably wouldn't have made that decision.
Yeah.
Circumstances will dictate the decisions we make and the choices we make.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to be in a position where everybody around me supported me in that decision.
Yeah.
My cousin, the bike riding Simran, she was... like literally my shadow. She used to live in Bombay. She dropped everything.
Really?
Relocated. Her kids were in boarding school. Same boarding school again. Loved it. She dropped everything and relocated to Chandigarh for the campaign term.
Right.
I had so many friends who dropped whatever they were doing and just relocated to Chandigarh. I think for me, that campaign proved the amount of goodwill that I had, which translated into the number of people who came and supported me.
Must have been a rush.
It's, you know, I think it's overwhelming that, you know, you think you're, I mean, nobody thinks you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Even bad people don't think they're bad people.
Yeah.
And they probably think they're good people, right? So, but I was really overwhelmed by the kind of support I got, both in terms of resources and actual money. My entire campaign was 100% publicly funded.
Yeah.
And when we closed accounts, we were left with money we couldn't spend.
Okay.
Which we returned to certain donors.
Okay.
But time, effort, energy, my friends and family just stopped doing what they were doing.
Wow.
And just for a month and a half, concentrated their entire effort and existence to being with me in Chandigarh during the campaign. And I think that just made it such an incredible experience.
Right.
And I would go back and do that again.
Right.
Back in time, if I had to remake that decision, I would make the same decision again. Hi, this is Gulpanag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
Mechanics, builders, restorers, bankers, corporate honchos, wanderers in ponchos, teachers, actors, artists, musicians, that list is endless of a community that are bikers in India. And Biker Radio Broadcast is proud to showcase the lives of the people who ride these metal horses for pleasure and some for pain. I'm Shandy and this is the 96th milestone of the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi, this is Bobby Singh. You are listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast and you're on the long way home.
You know, one of the things visually stunning about this entire thing was your shadi. I had never seen that, a sidecar and the doula on a motorcycle. I had never seen it.
I don't think it happened. Sure. I mean, frankly, I don't think it happened.
That's the question, is that whose idea was that?
Again, I did not want to spend any money on clothes
yes.
for my wedding.
Yes.
So the lehenga that I was wearing for my wedding, that pink lehenga, was my mother's lehenga.
So nice.
And she was like, you can wear your lehenga. Yeah. You can wear this lehenga for your wedding.
Yeah.
But preserve it because I want to wear it for my son's wedding.
Wow.
Whenever he does get married. And he got married about, you know, 6, 7, 8 years after us. Seven years. She did.
Wow.
And I was like, look, I'm not going to spend money on clothes I'm going to wear once. So if there are clothes, in fact, I was going to borrow Simran's lehenga.
Right.
She in turn borrowed another person's lehenga.
Right.
So when I was talking of borrowing lehengas, mom was like, you can borrow mine.
Hmm.
All the 6, 7 functions, 5 functions that we had, I think everything was borrowed. And then few outfits were gifted by designer friends. I did not spend a rupee on my clothes.
Hmm.
So when it came to the wedding outfit, my Sangeet outfit was my mother-in-law's wedding lehenga.
Hmm.
So my wedding outfit was this particular lehenga.
Hmm.
And my mom said, just make sure you don't snag it and spoil it.
Okay.
Or maybe she didn't say it in those many words. She just take care of it. So now it came to Doli, right? Figuring out. And our wedding was something that my husband and I planned together.
Hmm.
It was not a wedding.
That sounded like it.
It was not a... It was. So we had been seeing each other long enough. And, you know, this whole business of the girl's family becoming like just exhausted in every which way.
Right.
Running the burden of the marriage
yes.
was something which deterred.
That's something you didn't want to
which
do.
Which deterred me from the idea of marriage, right? So
right.
I was like, this is to
keep it
simple. It's a happy affair for everybody except the girl's family.
Right.
They are pushed to the edge emotionally, financially,
yeah.
And literally their wits because ladki wale.
Yeah.
And I think I couldn't articulate this back then, but that was the reason I was somehow subconsciously delaying my marriage. I'm like, oh God, so sad.
I knew there was something creative in the thing. Like, I wrote it down.
It bothered me. Every wedding I attended and I attend today bothers me when I just see the girl side of the family. And it's a sad feeling when I get.
They're Thank the one, you for saying that.
I mean, their child is going to go and they have to carry the burden of everything.
Yes.
Of which, a part is the financial burden.
Yeah.
So before our wedding, about 3 months before our wedding, we attended a wedding of my friends in Goa. And they did a very interesting wedding. They called all their friends and family and their parents as guests to their Goa wedding.
Mm.
They paid for it. Mm. And both sides' parents just came as guests. They didn't put in any work.
Wonderful.
They just came in as attendees to the wedding. They booked the whole resort.
Sure.
And all of us friends were told, this is how much the resort costs. We've negotiated a rate.
Right.
Book it and come.
Chip in.
And that's it. You know, you have to pay for your own room.
Wonderful.
And I think that idea of getting together for a event like that was phenomenal.
Yes.
And for me, that changed the paradigm on how a wedding can be. And I was like, okay, we can do something like this. So we began thinking of an idea that we should do it here, we should do
Whose
it there.
Wedding was that?
This was my friend Shruti's wedding.
Okay.
Shruti and Danish. And 3 months later is when we got married. They got married in October. Okay, 5 months later, we got married in March. Mm. And exactly the same way. So we decided how much we wanted to spend.
Right.
And the quality of the kind of stuff they wanted to do.
Right.
Which then dictated the guest list.
Right.
And remember, because we'd been seeing each other for so long already, we knew the families, both sides very well. And we wanted to restrict the guest list to people we could have a good time with.
Yeah. Have a conversation with.
So our wedding, I mean, not because of any other reason, because we wanted to have a great time at our own wedding.
Right.
And not be the exhausted bride and groom, which are just like, can't wait for it to finish because it's full of strangers.
Yeah.
So the guest list was literally our immediate family, which was my parents' siblings, their children and grandchildren, and my in-laws' siblings and their children and their kids.
Mm.
That was about 100 people. Our immediate family, with like my dad's sisters and my mum's brothers and sisters and my in-laws' brothers and sisters, was about 100 people, 95 odd people. And we had about 50 odd friends, and that was it. So 150 people over 3 days. People came to Chandigarh and we had a blast.
Hi, this is Gul Panag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
And you know, 2 days...
So whose motorcycle?
So coming to that. So 3 days before the wedding, everything is sorted. And we're like, what about the Dolly car?
Right.
My car was in Bombay. And I was like, and this whole thing of hiring this one fancy limousine, which is a very Punjab thing to do. I said, I don't want to do that. So my brother-in-law, Rustam, says, why don't you go on the bike?
Oh, so it's Rustam's idea.
Rustam.
Okay. And Rustam, you're a hero,
so
man.
His idea was the bike. I said, but the lehenga will get stuck in the wheel.
Uh-huh.
So Rishi was like, we'll get a sidecar.
Wow.
So 4 days before the wedding, he found a sidecar vendor who was exporting these sidecars in Nangal.
Oh.
And the bike was red. Huh. It's Rustam's Electra. And
so they had to paint it red.
No, they said, we have no time. They sent us a black
sidecar.
Now, it is not a DIY put together.
Right.
It's a task.
Okay.
So, all night after the Sangeet, Rustam, Shailbir and Rishi were putting together the sidecar. It was ready in the morning at 7.
Do you have videos of this stuff?
We don't. I mean, there was no. We don't have videos of that. And then at 8 o'clock, my then driver and now like all-purpose manager said, "Ki ab to phool lagana padega." So then he took the bike to some local florist to put some marigolds on it. But the bike got ready at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
And
what time was the Anand Karaj?
8. But we didn't have to go in the bike. Anand Karaj takes an hour.
Yeah.
So 7:30 we got this ready. Rishi and all the boys scrambled, got ready, reached the wedding venue, and we got out of there at about 10:30, and the bike was outside with the marigold flowers. Then, so while we organized a sidecar, then I was like, but then, you know, Rishi was like, why don't we have everybody else join us in the procession?
Yeah.
So I called up my friends at Royal Enfield. I said, can you organize a couple bikes for me?
Oh, really?
So it was they Royal organized Enfield. 10 bikes.
Oh.
And we asked who all wants to ride bikes.
Yeah.
So they were
obviously the Panag family
was. So they said we had 10, but if you want more bikes, we can organize more bikes. We can, you know, we have a community, we'll get the bikes for you. So all this was tied up.
Chandigarh,
yeah. So all these bikes and the sidecar and the Dolly bike were all made ready and kept outside the we checked with our friends because friends had begun to come in 3 days prior. So we began to organize this. And we asked who all will ride. Some people said we can be pillin because they didn't want to miss
it. Sure.
Especially the Bombay people. Nobody in Bombay knows how to ride a bike. I mean, they do, but, you know, I mean, not like confident enough to ride it.
Yeah.
So finally, I think we ended up with 12 or 13 and some other friends brought their bikes along. Yeah. So we kept bikes and keys outside and with Saroj, our my all-purpose manager, ready and giving keys and bikes to people.
Right.
And then we rode from the Gurdwara to the reception venue on bikes, which apparently was very fascinating for people.
It was. I think another momentous occasion, another, you know, one of those ignition moments, at least in the field of creativity.
We weren't trying to be creative. We were trying to protect my mom's lehenga.
I know.
And the sidecar. We were just lucky.
And have fun.
And have fun. Yeah. The whole thing was have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, this is Gul Panag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi, I'm Vijay Singh. And you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
You're a complete outdoors person, aren't you?
Yes, very much.
Very, very much.
Yes, I would rather be outdoors. I would rather be outdoors, even in this weather.
Yeah, I know.
You saw me running back, yeah. Walking back, yeah.
Wildlife, photography, running. Astronomy?
Right.
Wow, man.
After
a long time, I've met somebody who has some interest in astronomy.
So it's like this, you know, I've been lucky. Now, I have a lot of interests. And I think as human beings, we all do. But yeah. Society that we live in conditions us to put all those on the back burner and focus on what we have to do for a living.
Hmm.
That's the way we are conditioned by our education system, by our society, by our families.
Yeah.
As human beings, we are multifaceted. We used to be as hunter-gatherers. You couldn't decide that I will only do skinning and make coats. I mean, that happened to improve the efficiency of the system by creating division of labor.
Fair enough.
But the necessary skill set, everybody had. And that's what makes us multifaceted. It's in fact what separates us from our simian cousins, right? The fact that we have the ability to do multitask and to do many things. Perhaps not at the same time, but we all are multifaceted. We have multi-skill sets, which we perhaps don't choose to use.
That's the question.
And I think... one of the things I was very clear on when I was in college was I didn't want to end up in a 9-to-5 job. I mean, I had two kind of options clear in front of me that I wanted to pursue when I was in college. One was to become a chartered accountant because I was good with numbers.
Mm.
And two was to pursue law because I thought I could sort of argue a lot. But you can't really argue in court. I mean, you have to go with a prepared brief and it's the judge's way or the highway. Otherwise, you'll be sort of, you get contempt proceedings initiated against you, which of course I learned many years later in law school. It's not about being argumentative. It's about having a case and adequately researching it. But I think I could have done that. I mean, had I pursued law professionally and not just studied it as a theoretical academic exercise, I could have done that. But it bothered me that I'd have to do the same thing every day. Day after day.
Correct.
So, which is why even when I wanted to fly in college, I used to pass the
Patiala. Ah, that was another one.
So, when I wanted to fly, I used to pass the Patiala Flying Club every day.
Right.
But I didn't have the guts to tell my parents to put in that kind of money.
Correct.
To get me a PPL and then a CPL because it wasn't something I wanted to do for a living.
Right.
I couldn't see myself doing the same thing day after day after day.
Mm.
I'm somebody who can do short, intense bursts of work. Mm. I can't do that mediocre level work day after day after day. I was lucky enough to
be... Are you a perfectionist?
No, not for that reason. I can't sustain my interest in something that long.
Right, right.
So I was lucky enough to be in a profession which by default operates like that, right? Mm. You have one project and you give it everything you've got and then another project and then it's...
So you're somebody who immerses.
I can be immersive in something for a period, but then I have to step back and do something else, which is by default how actors operate, and rather everybody in the media industry operates, unless of course you are an administrative staff in a studio.
Mm.
So I realized that I had many interests, and I also realized that I would have a lot of downtime as an actor, which most actors do. I mean, when you're not filming or promoting, then you have downtime.
Right.
And I started using my downtime to pursue all my interests. And over time, because I was moderately famous, a lot of those interests that I pursued became quasi work sort of spaces. So I realized very early on that I could use my acting career as an enabler of everything else I want to do. You know, be it pursue adventure, fitness, sport, flying, automobiles, anything that I want to do. And the more authentic I was, the more rewarding the market would be. And that's something that I kind of figured out quite early.
Right.
So I have with gusto pursued all my interests. Hmm. And because of my background and being moderately famous, the means to pursue those interests just find their ways to me. Hi, this is Gul Panag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi guys, this is Gaurav Gill here and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
So, but aside from the privilege, the choices become even easier. But to take on something that titillates your heart, you know, like...
I think curiosity.
Maybe, yeah, right.
The idea is to explore. Yeah. There's so much there to explore in so many different realms.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of me setting up this platform called Magucho, which is a multi-category aggregator, is that these...
What is Magucho?
Magucho is a multi-category aggregating platform that I'm in the process of setting up.
That's the entrepreneur?
That's one of the things that I do as an entrepreneur. But currently, it's the baby that's being, you know, incubated and given maximum attention. As one of the things I really wanted to do was that all the opportunities I've had because of the access that I have, I mean, I literally put it out there in the universe that I'm doing something and somebody calls me up here, go pursue this. Mm. Here is the product that you need to pursue this particular activity. Mm. Take it. Oh, and you know what? We'll also pay you money while you pursue this interest of yours. Mm. That's literally how every interest of mine has been fueled.
Okay.
And I realized that interest pockets existed. Like, for example, as you rightly said, the biking community exists.
Yes.
But unless and until it's Biking Day or something which involves and makes bikers more mainstream, they don't matter.
Yeah.
There are other people who may want to engage with bikers, maybe just once. Maybe somebody wants to go with you for one ride, but never again.
Yeah.
But how do they even reach people like you?
Right.
They have no way because the communities are insular.
Right.
So be it the astronomy community, be it the off-roading community, be it the adventure community, be it the cycling community, be it the e-cycling community, be
running
it...
Running community.
They're all insular.
The wildlife community.
I mean,
there's
so many communities that are out there that are insular and they are operating in silos.
Absolutely.
I wanted normal people who are just looking for avenues to experience life to the fullest, to have these avenues made available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you want to just see what's up there. You know, we were lucky enough to have an experience listed which gave us a view of Jupiter, its rings, and its four moons.
Yes.
Many moons, but we only saw four because they were positioned correctly.
Well, what, last month?
Last month, about a month ago.
Mulshi?
No, that was actually here. It was in the Kutub Golf Course because it was a celestial event. It was the solstice, mm-hmm. winter solstice mm-hmm. on 22nd December. And that got me thinking, and you know, every time I would do something that people would want to do and it's a thought that they would nurture, but they'd be like, yaar, kaise karenge, kahan jayenge overlanding, kahan se tent dhoondenge, kaun ko organize karega, you know, all that just says, okay, forget about it.
Mm.
Every time I would do off-roading, or I would go on a bike trip, or I would go, to do anything which I wanted to pursue, I'd have so many people ask me,
right,
how do we go about doing this? Can you help us do this?
Oh, really?
I mean, this has been for years and years and years.
Okay.
And in my head, I realized there are already people who are pursuing those things professionally.
Yeah.
I want to connect these explorers who may just do it once and never do it again, or may become immersed in that particular community themselves. Sure. The opportunity to come face to face. So all these people become part of a larger community of experience seekers.
Mm.
People who don't want to spend their weekend inside a mall watching a movie, shopping. Who want to get out there and explore the outdoors. Anything that's not within concrete walls comes under the imagination and the scope of what Magucho aggregates.
Mm.
So if it's an astronomy experience, and through that we found that somebody has one of the nicest private observatories in a place called... between Ramnagar and Kashipur.
Hmm.
One, Mr. Puri, he has the most amazing telescopes that he's imported and he has a moving roof.
Mm.
And he runs that experience for all those people who are interested. I mean, if you knew that this was there, you probably could plan a trip.
Yeah.
And go, and there's celestial events like the meteor shower at Mulshi.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's magical to sit up there and see so many shooting stars.
Right.
Or what we call shooting stars, which is actually a meteor shower.
Yes.
160 an hour. I mean, it's incredible. Like, it's like fireworks in the sky. And these are all accessible.
Mm.
And some, for some things, just need your eyes. But you have to know about them.
Yeah.
Right?
And also want to have that fun.
I think there are lots of people who want to have that. But just don't, the process of getting to do that fun is so cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
The ones, like, for example,
so what makes it easy for you? I don't think it's easy.
No, it's not easy, but it's just that I mean, I have access, right? So I can find out and I can do it. I mean, I want the telescope, somebody send telescopes to me.
Right.
Otherwise, how? I mean,
right.
It's just that there's so many people who want to perhaps see something with a telescope, but they're like, oh my God, where do I get access to a telescope?
Mm.
So Magucho lists vendors from whom you can hire up telescopes. We have a liability product which insures the telescope. And you can, you know, for a small top up in your renting cost, you insure the telescope. So you're not stuck with the liability of the damage to an expensive piece of equipment. Similarly, when it comes to wildlife photography, I've had the privilege of pursuing it. In fact, now I'm being chased by two agencies out of Africa saying, please come on an all expense paid trip and experience. Yeah. And I've been doing this, you know, I've been going to Africa almost every year for the last 10 years because I've just enjoyed the bug, I think, that bit us during our stay in Zambia, where every other month we would go for a wildlife safari. And Africa has a lot of it. I mean, the scale at which the parks are structured. I mean, they're like 20,000 square kilometers. There's Kafue, there's Luangwa, there's Kariba, there's Yavonga, there's Masai Mara, there's Ngorongoro, there's Serengeti. There's so many parks.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't been to Ngorongoro, which is in a crater.
Mm-hmm.
100 kilometer diameter crater.
Right.
And then there is Serengeti, which is the same park, but the Tanzanian side of Masai Mara.
Okay.
Divided by River Mara.
Right.
So this exposure came to me as a result of going to Africa. But there could be so many people who are interested in doing these kind of things. So Magucho is not a travel company, but if there is a very high on experience travel proposition, then that would be listed on Magucho.
Okay.
And that's how the idea was born.
Is it something like Condé Nast of...
Except that you can book.
Oh, you can book.
So we're as an aggregator, we...
All experiences.
We list... The most incredible experiences, but I have to personally vet them.
Right.
So the USPs, they are personally vetted by by Team Magucho.
Right.
We go there, we see it. There's a certain checklist. It meets certain minimum criteria. So
you curate it.
The one word is premium.
Right.
Otherwise, there's so many places you go. I mean, you go there, it's like crap. It's advertised as X, but it turns out to be Y. So we vet these, and that vetting is valid for a certain period.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's what we're basically doing. So, I've just essentially... So, Magucho is a professional extension of me using my credentials, using my immense experience in the outdoor ecosystem to aggregate and bring them together. Listen, connect, ride on. Hi, this is Gulpanag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
Hi, this is Aniket Vardhan of the Musket V-Twin, and you are listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Yeah, time keeps on slipping into the future.
And where did the kida come for flying within you?
I think I always wanted to. I wanted to learn how to fly. I think it was something which was very interesting for me as a prospect. And I finally got my license in 2016.
Yeah.
I think for me, it changed the way I looked at things. And in most cases, it changes the way you prioritize. You see, typically as human beings, we are conditioned to prioritizing what comes at us first. But when you're in the air. If you find, say, that after checking the engine oil level, you didn't put the cap back.
Yes.
after you do a dipstick test. Before every flight, we're supposed to do it on the cold engine.
Okay.
If it's running change or somebody's just coming from an aircraft, the engine's hot, you don't obviously open it and put your dipstick in. But the suppose you've done the dipstick test mm-hmm. and they're not forgotten to put the cap off and all your engine oil has gone out.
Right.
The normal human reaction would be like, oh, now what have I done? Now what am I going to do? But up there, you're like, okay, it's happened now. I don't need to land the plane. I'll figure it out later. So your ability to prioritize complete your ability and that part of your brain which decides what to address first completely changes.
Right.
Your ability to see crisis and how you react to crisis changes dramatically. And it's part of the training.
Mm.
Day after day after day after day. So by the time you actually end up getting your license, your mind, as far as the aviation space, is conditioned to what is a priority and what is not.
Right.
What are memory items and for what you must refer to the checklist.
Right.
So, for example, an engine takeoff during an engine failure during takeoff is a memory item. You need to know what to do.
Right.
Whereas an engine failure at 5,000 feet, you pull out the checklist.
Right.
And go through at 5,000 feet, a lot of altitude, even with the glide ratio, your dead engine.
Yeah.
You've got some time.
Yes.
So it breaks down things into actual emergencies and
scenarios
that they can navigate out of. And often I think even
does
the
that
most
help?
It does, because on most days I think a lot of us are confusing what is a real crisis with what is an imagined crisis.
Awesome.
And that is an incredible life skill. So I would truly encourage anybody who's listening, if they have the means to do it, they should pursue flying. It changes the way you live, it changes the way you operate, it changes the way you respond in pressure, and you don't react, you have to respond. And it's an incredible life skill to have.
I'm sure. Far cry from the 2 o'clock Manali ride out.
Again, you know, I mean, in hindsight, if I had known that was going to happen and we were going to get stuck, and if I had been, again, what flying does is it teaches you anticipation.
Yes. Okay.
Everything is about anticipating.
Right.
So when you're in flying school, the first like 7-8 days, you are behind the aircraft.
Hmm.
The way flying training is structured world over, it's like heavily regulated again.
Right.
You just take off, do a 90-degree turn, do another 90-degree turn.
And come back.
Another 90-degree turn, and you make a rectangle and come back. It's called a circuit. It's normally 1,000 feet.
Okay.
1,000 feet from the ground. So you take off, and at 200 feet, you put the fuel pump off. At 300 feet, you take the flaps up.
Mm.
At 500 feet, you make a turn for crosswind.
Mm.
Then you stabilize, you reach circuit altitude,
mm-hmm.
you trim the aircraft, reduce thrust, because you're climbing at full thrust to go to climb. Then you leveled off 1,000 feet. Then you come parallel to the runway. And I'm walking you through this because it's a lot to pack into 6 minutes. You barely fly 1,000 feet for about 2 minutes, and you look to your right, you parallel to the runway, you start your landing checks. Then you cut back on par, take flaps the first time, make sure that your speed and your RPM is in a particular ratio. Then again, when you reach another speed and a certain altitude, takes again flaps by reducing power again. And then another set of checklists. So there's so much going on in those 6 minutes that you're just like, oh, now do this. And the thing with an aircraft is, if I see this temple and turn, I will already be too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to anticipate this temple and start turning just the moment my wing is abeam. If I'm late at any of the markers, I could be off by a couple kilometers. So flying training is initially, you lag behind the aircraft.
Right.
You reach 200 feet and you say, oh, now I have to take flaps up.
Right. Not a lot. You
so the, by the time you get
you can't do that.
By the time you get with the aircraft is you are about to reach 300 feet and you're already taking flaps up. That means your lift will suddenly fall and then the nose will come down. So you have to correct for the nose beforehand. So these things you learn by the 8th, 9th, 10th lesson.
Right.
Then you start anticipating.
Right.
How will the aircraft behave when I do this?
And therefore it calms you.
And everything is one anticipating what's next. Anticipating what's next. Till you come to a place where you're ahead of the aircraft.
Right.
So in that the same set of tasks that's taking you 6 minutes.
Right.
Almost from takeoff to landing to you're doing about 35, 40 things.
Right.
Then once you get comfortable with that, your muscle memory gets comfortable, you start being ahead. Before, let's say you reach 300 feet, you already start preparing for the fact that the aircraft nose will drop. So I have to trim the aircraft so the nose remains up.
Right.
So all this is anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm saying this is because flying programs are designed to condense and make it high pressure.
Right.
In those 6 minutes. So one takeoff, landing 1,000 feet, come back and land in 6 minutes, 6 to 7 minutes. We typically do six landings in.
And what was the aircraft?
In my case, I'm ready to fly three Cessna 172-152 and then the Piper Archer.
Mm-hmm.
But the mathematics of it all remains the same.
Yeah.
In, for example, in the Piper Archer, you may take flaps up at 350.
Okay.
That you have to memorize. For different aircraft, you have different, which is why for every aircraft type you're rated on, you must clear another exam.
Yeah.
And get minimum 70% pass mark.
Right.
70 is pass.
Right.
So if you get 68, you have to repair and write the exam all over again. Because you have to have those basics in your in your mind.
Yeah.
So what I'm simply coming at to conclude, I think flying, I didn't realize it was going to be so life-changing in terms of the way I think.
Mm.
And the ability to distinguish an actual crisis from something which is just a googly and small plans go haywire and awry. Some people have it naturally.
Right.
Some people need to learn to fly to get it. So it's that. Hi, this is Gulpanag and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
The Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
So much to say, so much to say, so much to say, so much to say.
Just open up my head and let me out.
If you had the opportunity to ride with anyone from imagination, history, even contemporary times, who would that person be and why?
Who would I like to ride with and why? Okay. You know, I've actually really been fascinated by the timeline would be probably like the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Okay.
And the motorcycles hadn't quite been sort of invented.
1901, I guess.
But like more late 1800s and the way the world was. And perhaps I think I would like to go on a ride with Tolstoy. I think his view and vision of the world is genius level, right? The way he has been able to preempt things before they actually happened, his ability to see things for what they are.
Ahead of the plane?
Way ahead of the curve. It's one thing to have a hypothesis, but it's one thing to be able to articulate that hypothesis in writing. And then for that writing to stand the test of time, to see that hypothesis come true.
Yeah.
And in most of his books, I think I would like to ride ride probably a really long ride, maybe from France all the way to Moscow with Tolstoy. Yeah, that would be the ride that I'd like to do. It would be a really long ride.
Gulpanag, thank you so much for being on the Biker Radio Broadcast on the long way home.
Thank you, Shishendu, for having me on the Biker Radio Broadcast and the long way home. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's Gulpanag there for you, riding on the long way home with us on the Biker Radio Broadcast. Billy Joel's celebration of a woman comes to mind because somewhere behind the smoke and mirrors, Gul is very disciplined. For some reason, the name Gulpanag is stuck on my mind. If it's on her mind, she'll do it. For those of you listening to us on Apple, Google, or especially Spotify, you could get rid of those pesky ads by just listening to the show at thebikerradiobroadcast.com. Hope you followed us on Instagram. That's the price for the ride on these airwaves. Well, bittersweet and little sour, I'm Shandy on the Biker Radio Broadcast, India's most savored motorcycling podcast. And if you're not on it, you're behind.
See you next time. Listen. Connect. Ride on.
Biker Radio Broadcast advises safety at all times, discourages underage riding, but celebrates the spirit of motorcycling.
And how...